Tov, Reuven Levy, we're learning the book Gan HaShalom from Shalom Arush. How to treat your wife. How to have Shalom Bayit. Ramash, the Rav today, Rav Dror, was explaining how one time, maybe in the past, he received rebuke from his wife, and she really told him the truth and really put him in his place. And I got that Friday morning. Rabbi Reuven was asking me, how is your Hafetza on Friday? I was planning to go and do Hafetza on Friday. I have my planning for weeks now, since the Rav first mentioned, right, Nachon, that we should do Hafetza at least once a week. So, Tov, Friday, I bought the books, carried them all home. 3 different days to carry the books home. I bought a lot of books, Baruch Hashem. I'm going to do Hafetza. Finally, I'm going to do Hafetza. So, of course, Hashem had other plans. And Friday morning, I was somewhere between the floor and and several feet under the floor. Trying to peel myself off the tiles, Mamash, in a very very low place, but a very amazing, wonderful place, right? Because it was so needed. It was so needed. It's hard to explain these things without giving you a 4-hour shiur on what's going on in my life, and it wouldn't be that interesting either, maybe. But
what did you do?
What did I do? We have in us a selfish streak. Everyone has, particularly us men, a selfish streak. What does that mean? It means that I'm very self-centered. I only see myself. And everything around me is based around me. So even when I'm doing good, I'm doing kindnesses, I'm doing chesed, in some way, it's for my own good. And when I pretend that I'm doing it for other reasons, I'm lying to myself. I'm not really there yet. I'd like to be there, but I'm not really there. As an example, and it's only an example, it's not by any means the complete picture, but as just a snippet of an example, I'm looking to move to Jerusalem at the moment. Looking to move to close to the yeshiva, to a very from religious, observant neighborhood. People dress a certain way, people act a certain way, people have a certain level of learning. I'm imagining these. And so, I want to move into that neighborhood. My wife says to me, "What do you think?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, fine. Yeah, it looks good, looks nice. I think we'll be okay." I'm lying. I'm mamash lying to myself. What's the truth that I couldn't really get to until I was lying on the floor on Friday morning? I'm scared. I'm mamash scared. I can't come into that neighborhood. It's not me. I'm not Haredi. I might dress with a white shirt and black trousers. I'm not Haredi. I'm not up to that level. I'm not holding where these people are holding. I don't fit in. It's not me. I don't fit here. What am I even thinking? What am I doing? I'm worried about living here. Why? Because right here is just off on the green, on the line with our friends, the neighborhood Arabs. My next door neighbor will be an Arab. My children will be walking home at night with Mr. and Mrs. Abdullah, right? That scares the pants off of me. I'm not happy about that situation at all. And what am I doing? I'm pretending to everyone, my wife and myself, that everything's fine. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. It's all good. lying to myself. And it might not seem like a big thing, Tov, but as we know, the husband reflects on the wife. And whatever I am experiencing, I'm reflecting unto her. She told me, "You're killing me. You're killing me. I'm being torn apart inside because you're lying to yourself. You're pretending." And she feels the conflict. Mamash feels it. My wife's very sensitive, Baruch Hashem. She feels that what I'm pretending, what I'm pretending doesn't exist, she's living it. She's living my lie. And she can't stand it, she can't handle it. And so what do I get? I get the truth thrown at me in full technicolor because I'm not accepting it. I'm not living the reality of where I really am. I come to yeshiva and I see in yeshiva that the people I respect, Rav Dror, Rav Arush, they have rapim. They dress in a certain way. They have a white shirt, have beard, have peyot. I want to be like that. So eventually I start dressing like that too, because that's what I respect. That's what I see as a choshev aderech. But it's not me. It's not real. It's not inside. I'm just wearing the clothing. I'm wearing that in the, like he says in the book, Rav Arush's book, I'm wearing the garments of the king, but I haven't changed my underwear in 2 weeks. Right? On the outside, it all looks good. But on the inside, where am I really holding? I'm not there. I'm not a Rebbe. I might be sitting here teaching a class, but I'm not. I'm not. 2 years ago, I'm sitting where you were. What? There's no difference. And if I start to think that somehow there's a difference, that somehow... Actually, look at me, I'm a teacher in yeshiva. It's scary. Why? Because I start to believe what it says on that pamphlet. If you open up the garment and you flick over inside, and who you see a nice load of pictures. And oh, one of them's me. Oh, look, I must be a Rebbe in yeshiva. It says so on here. Right. Oy, the boy. Right. Because it's just. It's not real. It's not real. And then at some point, something's got to give. And you have to come down to earth with a bang. I came down to earth. I don't know how far I came down. I think there's probably still further to go. See, truth be told, but I came down very far. And I sat down and I cried. I just cried. I said, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's not me. It's not real. I had no answer. What am I meant to do? I had no answer. Still have no answer. But you know what? Everything changed after that. Mamash, everything changed. Don't know how, don't know why. My wife said after me, afterwards, to me in the afternoon, she said, "That's it, you broke it." She said, "Whatever it was, you managed to break it." And she said, "I feel calm. I feel relaxed." She said, "I still felt like I was on the floor. I was like just dusting myself off and breathing again." And she said, "No, everything's good now. Not completely good, but broke a lot to get to that point." And that's what. That's everything we've been talking about and we've been stuck on. Mamash, I don't know if you noticed, but we've been stuck on the same section of this book for the last 2-3 weeks, maybe more even, right? Which is treating your wife with not just what from the outside, but from the inside. A friend asked me, a friend of ours from the Yishuv. There's a very nice, that's an understatement, a very tzaddik in the yeshiv, Rav Tal, head of the yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva, Torat HaChaim, Rav Shmuel Tal, Mamash. very big. Anyway, one of our friends went to see the Rav, Rav Tal. They were having certain issues. And they wanted some advice from the Rav. The Rav came back and said to this person, the root of all these problems is that you don't love yourself. If you start loving yourself, all this stuff will... problems with family, problems with children, problems... So my friend came to me and said, we had a chat. What do you think about this? About this idea to love yourself? What does it mean? You know, it's an interesting idea. He said to me, he was thinking that there's to love yourself, to love others, and to love Hashem. But it's a three-way, three-faceted idea. And what does it mean? What does it actually mean? That you need to love yourself. Oh, I know I need to love myself. I know I need to love. But what does it actually mean? So anyway, we're just trying to discuss that. The idea, how you get, do you start with loving yourself? Do you start with loving Hashem? And then maybe you get to love yourself eventually. I said, in my view, I think you need to love yourself first. Because until you do that, you don't really know how to love another person. Don't know what you're doing. I don't know if that's correct. It was just a thought that occurred to me at the time. But to know what it means to love another person is not pashut. When I was discussing with this friend, he was telling me his view of what he thought it meant to love. He said, let's start with Hashem. He said, in his view, he said, loving Hashem is the easiest of the three, in his view. So I said, okay, what does it mean to love Hashem? So he said to me, loving Hashem, I don't want to talk Berech, I don't want to speak him wrong, but just an example. He said, to love Hashem is the feeling that you get when you know you're close to Hashem and you feel that light and you feel connected. That's loving Hashem. So I said to him, okay, maybe. I said, it doesn't sound right to me. Sounds like what you're explaining to me is the way that you love chocolate ice cream. Right? I love chocolate ice cream because I like the way it tastes. I don't love the ice cream. I'm not giving anything to the ice cream. I'm taking it. It's all taking it. I love chocolate ice cream. And maybe that the way you're explaining too, that I love Hashem in terms of what I get from him. He makes me feel good, makes me feel relaxed, makes me feel like I have a purpose, makes me feel that I'm loved. It's a chocolate ice cream love. Maybe the love is dafka, the opposite. The love is about giving. It's not about what I receive from it. Struck me afterwards with in terms of picking myself up off the carpet that I was missing that. One of the pieces to the jigsaw that was missing that kind of edged its way towards where it needs to be. I don't think it's fallen in place completely, but it is that the love that was missing was that altruistic love. Love with no comeback. Just to give for the sake of giving. Without thinking about me at all, I'm not existing, I'm not in the picture. Whether it's a love for Hashem, a love for someone else, a love for my wife, a love for myself, it's to give without thinking what I'm going to get back. I don't love Hashem because it makes me feel close to him. Because I feel good, I feel connected, that's why I love you, Hashem. No, that's for me, it's all about me. And same with my wife. I don't love my wife because she's wonderful. She's so wonderful, that's why I love her. That's just about what I get out of it. She's wonderful means that she's wonderful to me. She's so kind to me, she's so generous, and that's why I love you. That's ice cream. That's loving chocolate ice cream. What occurred to me is that loving my wife means I just give. It doesn't matter what I'm feeling. I can be feeling nothing. I'm tired, I'm not interested, I have no feelings whatsoever for you. But I'm giving, giving, giving. Why? Because I love you. That's my job, is just to give. It's not because I'm giving you now, because I feel good. Tomorrow I don't feel good, I'm not going to give you. If I didn't get sleep last night, I'm not going to be nice to you today. I'm not going to, if I feel warmth from you, if I feel you're reciprocating, so fine, I'm going to give. And if I don't feel you're reciprocating, so I'm not going to give. It's conditional love. And certainly where I think I was falling down was on the unconditional love. Don't think I was giving unconditionally. These all maybe have parameters, but I'm not complete. Maybe I was completely selfish, I don't know. But certainly the selfish part completely screened me, right? And I didn't see it. It was creeping up, until it just floored me, knocked me out. Like I saw it coming and realized what I was doing. Okay? So that's this unconditional love that we're speaking about here. A person can do conditionally love his wife in a very nice fashion. You can conditionally tick as many boxes as you want. And that's what was going on with my hafatzah. My wife told me, she said, it's good that you didn't do hafatzah today. Because you weren't doing it from here. You were doing it to tick the box. I'm doing hafatzah. Yofi, I'm doing the external. I'm doing hafatzah. My rab wants me to do hafatzah, and I did hafatzah. And I can tell everyone I did hafatzah. My rab asked me, and I did it. Meaningless nonsense that is probably more damaging than good, which is why I never did it on Friday. Right, Hashem, stop me. Because it wasn't from here. It was so I can say, I did it for Hashem. I want to be like my rab. I want to do hafatzah. I don't actually want to do hafatzah. I'm only doing it because I have to do it. And that's the same thing with Shalom Bayit. Why am I doing it? Because I have to do it. It says in the book. Because my rav tells me. Because people tell me. That's how you treat your wife. Not because I really want to do it myself. That's the level that we need to be working at, that we're stuck on, that I was stuck on in here. How do I get to that point where I actually want to do it myself? And I'm not doing it just because it's the right thing to do. Or just because it makes me feel good to know that I'm doing what I should be doing. Prayer. Prayer. Yes.
There are verses.
Yeah.
It's like there's a big difference between Te'ava and Ahava. The Ahava is when you're giving, and the Te'ava is when you're 100% taking. Exactly the opposite. Very similar words.
And most of us, in our relationship with our wife, particularly in the physical aspects of the relationship, for sure, we're just taking. Mamash, a person has to get to a very high level when you can switch off, when you can eat the most gourmet chocolate ice cream in the world and not enjoy the taste, and just do it because you're making the host happy. The host serves you chocolate ice cream, and I'm doing it to make you happy, but I'm not. You can't do that. It's just good ice cream. I mean, no, nice, right? I'm taking. If I'm lucky, and I also get to thank the host at the end for 5 minutes in between breaths, and I pause for breath while I'm stuffing my face. It's my emotional joke, but I have to be honest about that. And I only think that the reason why I got to be lying on the floor was because for a few weeks now I've been struggling with this whole thing. I mean, Hashem, I'm not here. Hashem, I'm doing the external stuff, and I'm not doing the internal. You've got to help me. Week after week after week, day after day after day, it's in my face. I'm reading it to you. And I'm like, I'm not holding this. And eventually, Hashem had kindness on me, and he said, "Stop. I see you actually mean it now. You actually want to get out of the hole you're in. You want to start giving truly and not just taking. I'm gonna have to take you there. It's not gonna be fun, right? And it wasn't fun. Now I'm through the other side of that pit. I'm not. You know, I'm still. I don't feel like I'm fixed by any means, but I feel like a little piece was fixed, right? And that, having done it, Baruch Hashem, thank you very much. Right. But it's It's mamash something that it's real. It's real. It's not just the book. It's not just the book. The book gives us a guide to what we need to pray on. We can't learn how to be from a book. We can learn where we want to be. We can learn what we need to pray on. No, not even. It's not a map that I have to walk. The book is something that I don't understand. It's a map I don't understand. It tells me where the treasure is. But I can't just follow the map to get to the treasure. I'm looking at the map and I'm saying, I have no clue what this means. I can see the word on the page. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to get from here to there. I can see that's where you want me to get to. It looks very nice. I'm sure there's treasure there at the end, but right now I'm standing here, I have no clue how to get there. And the only way to get there is to pray for it. Say, Hashem, I have no idea how to get there. I understand where you want me to get to. I understand a little bit of where I'm holding now. And my first point is that I'm admitting that I'm not there. Right? If I think I'm there, oh yeah, yeah, that's what I do. Yeah, yeah, I do that. Oh yeah, I do that too. Lovely. Tough. I'm lying to myself and I'm not going anywhere. What do I need to say? Oh, you know what? You're right. I don't do that. First step, I don't do it. First step to admit. Second step is to actually want, and I want to change. I'm interested in it. It bothers me. I'm not happy that I'm not like that. That takes a while. It's not that I heard something in the class, I read it in the book. I'm like, oh, you're right. It takes time. It takes effort to read this, to go back over it, to see where I'm holding now. I read it once, I read it twice. And Rav says in each of his books, that they're workbooks, you have to read it, you have to go back over it, you have to go over again. I don't know about you, but going back over books is not my strong point. It's not, I read a book, tov, I get the idea, generally speaking. That's it. Going over this is almost the only chazara. The only other book that I've ever gone back over again is Gan Emunah. And not completely here and there, dropped into it. I tried to go back over Garden of Gratitude. I got to the second chapter and I stopped. It's very hard.
The analogy is going over and over and over again a textbook. And at the end of the textbook, you have an interactive test, and there's no guessing on an interactive test.
Right. The difference here is, you're right, I like that, Yaakov, but the difference here is that I understand the content very well, and I can answer all the questions you like on the content. I know the book very well. I'm teaching it now. I can speak about, as you can, I know this book very well, I can speak about one page for like 3 weeks. Right. So,
but you know it inside.
No, am I doing it?
Right.
Am I doing it? And that's, no, I'm not doing it. I can talk about it, but I'm not doing it.
Because that's what an interactive test is.
Oh, I see. So you're right.
When you can do it in your sleep, and when you can teach it in your sleep, and when you can pull it apart in your sleep.
No, I can teach it and pull it apart, and I can criticize myself, and I can criticize everyone else much easier too. But doing it is hard. Doing it is hard. It's not, you know, there's a level that the rabbi's writing in these books, which is not, it's not stamped to get to. Right? We think that we can read the book and just, tov, I've done that. It's not. It's my mashma. And
an analogy is, for me, I am CompTIA Plus certified. Computer interactive test. Then they hand me my first computer that has a problem, and I had to diagnose it and take it apart and find out what parts not working and repair it.
Right.
And that's, well, the customer's waiting.
But you're right. Oh. So it's one thing to to hear a shiur, it's one thing to listen to it. But we have to be truthful with ourselves that we're not holding by this. We're not holding by this. Mamash, we're not. Rav Arash is bringing to us Lukatei Moran in different chapters, in different parts, of how to be, how to live, right? And when Rav Dror tells us of Rav Yoel Satmar, the great Rav Yoel, held it up and said, Rebbe, you're showing the, even the greatest that they're not even beginning in that Avodat Hashem. I have to know that that's also us, Lahavdil, right? We're also not even beginning. But we also have to know and have to believe that we can get there. Because otherwise, what's the point? Right? Rav Arash is writing this. Hashem is telling him to write it just so he can have a laugh, so we can all see where we're not, where we're never going to be. No. He's writing this to show us, this is where you're not. But you know what? This is where you can be. But the only way you're going to get there is through prayer. It's not through working out the how to do it. Oh, I've understood now, I need to do certain things.
Let's say you pray for him now. So Hashem has to give you test very hard. You fall very down. Then you have to look for the light to find the Lord, to pick you out from the dust. It's very painful. Because there is no power. You need power. They say, well, when you're down, you have to pray. That's very, sometimes very difficult to pray because you have not the power. Understand? You go down, so the mat, that you have to find a way to come to go to pray. Understand?
Yeah. I mean, what? One of the other things.
Good because you have to find the light. Understand? Sometimes it's very dark and you have to find it how to come out of this situation. So, you see, this is the way, but you further it down. And you have to go now. This way. Sometimes you need time. You have to. When it's, let's say you're in the light moment. Now, so you turn on the light. In the first moment, you see nothing. Yeah? You need the time. You have to. This is like. Uh-huh. You fell, now you have to wait for. I have this on Thursday. I'm not in the German Bible. I was in the same situation. I had no power to come to the ship. Uh-huh. So I have no money to come. And so I need situation. I have to go to pray. It's the only way. Go to pray. In the beginning was very hard to start to pray. It always comes the same problem in your mind. Sometimes in your prayer, you feel an impression. Uh-huh. You have to find the light or something about me. Then I learn, in Shabbat I learn. I learn halachot, piece of halachot, and they say, in Shabbat you have to make, you have to be happy. And they say, what you need to have is food. That's only really simple, it's but buy something that will make you happy. Yeah, that's it. Then I read about Abinachon's wife, wisdom, a whole morning, and he teaches the same. Same subject, Shabbat.
Yeah. Okay.
For people, when they have nothing, go or something, buy something. Yeah.
Mm.
But then when you have to, there's something to. It's the same, when you learn, you need.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of the major teachings of Rav Nachman is. To feel like we're nothing, feel like Ephes, right? That it's not me. And it goes together with the idea of putting aside our sechel. I think it's a very similar idea that the only way out is to drop everything. To drop my sechel and drop my who I am, drop my imaginations, my thoughts, my chokhmah, my logic, that because it's wrong, it's not taking me anywhere. It's taking me to a place that I try and get to the best place I can get to based on what I have, based on my knowledge, my talents, my information, my all those, and I get to a place where it was like I got as far as I got and I've got nowhere. Like the ikar is sema na sefer. Like I still can't get to the point of actually giving to my wife from love and not from selfish reasons. I can't get there. After all, everything I can. I'm going to try. I'm going to. Shtiyot. What's the answer in the end? I can do absolutely nothing. Put away all my wisdoms, all my thoughts, all my imaginations of being a good husband, being a good Jew, being a good. This is. I realize that. I actually can't do anything. I'm FS, I'm nothing, I can't do nothing here. And only after reaching that point, of actually reaching, not just like logically reaching it, but actually feeling it, then everything was okay. After that, everything was okay. It's like this bizarre, I mean, it's all huffle. It's all works on we have to drop, or fight against our natural inclination to be in charge, be in control, and everything's just.
But it's amazing that when Shabbat starts, I forgot everything. Zero in the Shabbat. Zero in the Shabbat. But yes, today in the morning, I have not been seen in the car. Maybe for even a short moment. My wife gave me one and checked it. So I go to the taxi. I go to Dublin. I said, I go to Dublin. There's not so much traffic. Maybe I can reach to the taxi. I reached the time stop, the walker was walking outside, and I said, I need benzene. He said, no. I said, I need benzene. It was open, but I said, he closed the door, and he walked outside. He said, no, I said, oh, it's with her. I said, I need benzene. I said, okay, but no benzene. So I said, no. I tried my own again. I said, okay, I go to Darwin. Darwin was only 10 people here, and they know. Repeat the Shmonez, the fast. So they only start the problem again. You understand? So you must say, okay, this is from Hashem. And take all the happiness. That's really good. Yeah, Shabbat, everything is fine. You don't have the Shabbat started. Let's say Shabbat. And Shabbat, before Shabbat, they have nothing. No money, nothing. And then my wife, she bought food. I was not happy with them, right? Because my wife used to spend the food for the Shabbat. She feel it, so I hope it's not good for you. I need to do something good, you're not happy. And I feel appointed. So why feel appointed here? Because I do something good, and you do it in the other way. Right? Sure. Because for me it was like, the men give the money and it's like so, yeah. The men have the money, go to Shashem, Hashem gives the money for the Shabbat fire. I feel now in our situation is opposite. The wife has the money, so I feel with the. I learn. I say, okay. It's okay, it's true. You bring the money, I love it.
Yeah. I mean that's what all of these things, all of these tests, they all come down to that point. Just to be at the end happy with everything. Doesn't matter what happens, what Hashem does, what he doesn't do, what I do, what I don't do, just to be happy with everything, because it's all from Hashem. That's the ultimate root of everything.
Say, Hashem, I need not $10,000. Nothing. My wife isn't it. Then she was not happy. She was not taking it. I feel it down. I feel very down. Because yesterday you said you need $10,000. She was
worried about it.
She felt down. Because she was about this case, you can't find.